any one of which could have left him as a small damp depression in the ground had it wanted to. Somehow, they never got around to thinking about it. Supposing they are better than us, she thought. Supposing that, compared to them, we're just... You're too close to the castle, snapped Perdita. You're thinking cow thoughts. Then Agnes realised that there was a squad of men marching behind the carts. They didn't look at all like the cart's drivers. And these, said Perdita, are the cattle prods. They had uniforms of a sort, with the black and white crest of the magpies. But they weren't a body of men that looked smart in a uniform. They looked very much like men who killed other people for money. And not even for a lot of money. They looked, in short, like men who'd cheerfully eat a puppy sandwich. Several of them leered at Agnes when they went past, but it was only a generic leer that was simply leered on the basis that she had a dress on. More wagons came up behind them. Nanny Ogg says you must take him by the foreskin, Agnes said, and darted forward as the last wagon rumbled past. She does? I'm afraid so. You get used to it. She caught the back of the cart and pulled herself up, beckoning him hastily to follow. Are you trying to impress me? He said as she hauled him on board. Not you, she said, and realised at this point that what she was sitting on was a coffin. There were two of them in the back of the cart, packed around with straw. Are they, moving the furniture in? Said Oates. I think it might be occupied, said Agnes. She almost shrieked when he removed the lid. The coffin was empty. You idiot! Supposing there was someone in there? Vampires are weak during the day. Everyone knows that, said Oates reproachfully. I can feel them here somewhere, said Agnes. The rattling of the cart changed as it rumbled onto the cobblestones of the courtyard. Get off the other one and I'll have a look. But supposing... He pushed her off and raised the lid before she could protest further. No vampire in there either, he said. Supposing one had just reached out and grabbed you by the throat? Om is my shield, said Oates. Really? That's nice. You may chortle. I didn't chortle. You can if you want to, but I'm sure we are doing the right thing. Did not Sonaton defeat the beast of Bartrigore in its very cave? I dunno. He did. And didn't the prophet, Erdjure vanquish the dragon of Sluth on the plain of Gidral after 3 days fighting? I don't know that we've got that much time. And wasn't it true that the sons of Exequiel beat the hosts of Mirilom? Yes? You've heard of that? No. Listen, we've stopped. I don't particularly want us to be found, do you? Not right now. And not by those guards. They didn't look nice men at all. They exchanged a meaningful glance over the coffins concerning a certain inevitability about the immediate future. They'll notice they're heavier, won't they? Said Oates. Those people driving the carts didn't look as though they noticed anything very much. Agnes stared at the coffin beside her. There was some dirt in the bottom, but it was otherwise quite clean and had a pillow at the head end. There were also some side pockets in the lining. It's the easiest way in, she said. You get into this one, I'll get into that one. And look, those people you just told me about, were they real historical characters? Certainly. Well, don't try to imitate them yet, all right? Otherwise you'll be a historical character too. She shut the lid and still felt there was a vampire around. Her hand touched the side pocket. There was something soft yet spiky in there. Her fingers explored it in fascinated horror and discovered it to be a ball of wool with a couple of long knitting needles stuck through it, suggesting either a very domesticated form of voodoo or that someone was knitting a sock. Who knitted socks in a coffin? On the other hand, perhaps even vampires couldn't sleep sometimes and tossed and turned all day. She braced herself as the coffin was picked up and tried to occupy her mind by working out where it was being taken. She heard the sound of footsteps on the cobbles and then the ring of the flagstones on the main steps echoing in the great hall. A sudden dip. That meant the cellars. Logical, really, but not good. You're doing this to impress me, said Perdita. You're doing it to try to be extrovert and dynamic. Shut up, Agnes thought. A voice outside said, Put them down there and push off. That was the one who called himself Igor. Agnes wished she'd thought of a weapon. Get rid of me, would they? the voice went on against a background of